our normal business of the agenda. Maybe we go around the table and each one present very briefly himself. And maybe we start with Peter.
Yes, I'm Peter Christoph from CERN, working for the ALICE experiment there.
Peter Zavara from Institute of Physics of Prague, Academy of Sciences.
Antonio Editato, University of Bern.
Joachim Nisch from DAISY in Hamburg.
Stanislav Dubnička from the Slovak Academy of Sciences in Bratislava.
Alexander Shiplakov, Pax Secretary.
Richard Lednický, Joint Institute.
Viktor Matveev, Joint Institute.
Alexander Sorin, Joint Institute.
Vladimir Kikiridze, Joint Institute.
Vladimir Korenkov, Joint Institute.
Victor. We will now start with following the the agenda that you have in front of you. And the first thing is my short presentation of the what happens. Don't we have a pointer? We used to have a pointer here, but... Okay, I'm giving you my short report, refreshing the memory of what happened since our last pack. I will be showing you again the main points of the decisions and the recommendations we made at our last meeting in January. I will briefly report on the decision of the last Scientific Council that took place on February 23rd and 24th, just mentioning those items that are relevant for our pack. A more detailed presentation about the Scientific Council will be probably included in the next presentation by the Vice Director Richard Lednický. And then I will go through the agenda of today's meeting. So the highlights of the last pack concerning NICA, there was a steady progress in all fronts. There was the successful commissioning of the heavy ion linear accelerator HILAC. The preparations for the booster construction are proceeding. We are looking forward to an update on that today. There was a very successful nucleotron run, the 53rd run. It had a record duration and it successfully accelerated for the first time a polarized deuteron beam with a polarization of 60% and an intensity of almost 10 to the 9 ions. And the facility for superconducting magnetic production, the assembly and testing, was officially launched also at the beginning of this year, actually the end of last year. Concerning the MPD, the focus still remains the TDRs for all those subsystems that are supposed to be on place for day one. There were also some good news concerning the new groups that expressed interest in joining the MPD, particularly from Mexico and China. On the BMA-10, the main item was the successful run in which all subsystems were on the setup with a very limited coverage, but all subsystems were there, so they could be all tested in an integral way. And we were concerned about the half a year delay that was incurred into this project that result from the fact that there is not enough beam time for testing the pieces of equipment, and also for due to the lengthy procedures for tendering. Hopefully those things will not induce further delays down the line. Then the ducts for the MPD and the BMA10 had working sessions in January. The main focus was the TDRs of the MPD. That remains the focus for the forthcoming meeting that will take place hopefully during the next month. So on all those items, which are the core of the work of this PAC, we expect to hear progress reports today. Concerning the Scientific Council that was took place on February 23rd and 24th, first some general considerations. The Scientific Council was pleased that the seven-year plan that was elaborated as a joint effort of the management together with the PAC and together with the Scientific Council. The seven-year plan was approved by the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. And the Scientific Council expresses his good wishes for success to the general management concerning all the big projects that are on the agenda of GINR for the next 7 years, and these include, of course, NICA, the super heavy element factory, and the Baikal neutrino experiment. You remember that NICA received this mega science grant from the Russian Federation government. This implies now a much closer scrutiny on the procedures related to the NICA realization, and a supervisory board was established in order to follow up on all those procedures related to the NICA project. There was a very nice outreach event that took place in February 27, that is the All Russia Open Lesson on the NICA project. I'll show you in the next slide some more details. The idea was that in the Day of Science, all schools in Russia would see a video in seven parts that would present the NICA project, the science, the accelerator, the experiments, etc. So the video contained seven parts, and it was presented by the then Vice Director Grigory Trubnikov, today Vice Minister Grigory Trubnikov. This was a very nice thing. I think the Scientific Council expressed his satisfaction and pleasure of seeing this act of outreach concerning all Russia. Now, the Scientific Council recommendations concerning the NICA project. The NICA project was, the Scientific Council appreciated the progress on the NICA. This thing does not work properly. Again, the item that I mentioned before, the successful commissioning of the linear accelerator, the preparations for the booster, and the start of the facility for the superconducting production. They also expressed their appreciations for the successful nucleotron run and the acceleration of the deuteron, the polarized deuteron beam. The Scientific Council also heard the report by Deputy Director Boris Cherkov concerning FAIR. And as a result of this, the Scientific Council emphasized again the need for the timely and successful completion of the NICA project with international collaboration. Concerning the MPD BM-10, Scientific Council appreciates the efforts and the progress on those two fronts, and also the Scientific Council appreciates the work done by the detector advisory committees for those two experiments. Now you remember also that the giant the Scientific Council also concur with the PAC in recommending the continuation of the two projects that were submitted for a continuation, the COMET experiment and then a 64 experiment. So all in all, the Scientific Council endorsed all the recommendations that were presented by the PAC-PP. Now, you remember that GINR management was discussing recently an update of the regulations, the governing regulations of the PACs. This was an initiative of the management and was done in very close cooperation with the different PACs. So the Scientific Council was pleased to see this interaction between the management and the PACs. The final draft of those amendments to the regulations were presented by Scientific Secretary Rusakovic to the Scientific Council, and the Scientific Council approved the amended text. So that's all what I have to update for you. And now concerning the agenda of today and tomorrow, we have a busy day today. You have the agenda in front of you, so I will not go through all the items. I will just mention the highlights. As I mentioned before, we are looking forward to the updates on NICA, MPD and BM-10. There is an addition to the BM-10 program, which concerns short-range correlations, and we will hear a full presentation on that today. We are looking forward to the reports on the nucleotron runs that took place or are foreseen for 2017. And then we have a total of 5 projects that are seeking continuation that we will have to discuss today. So thank you very much. And now, please, Richard will give the detailed presentation.
Thank you. dear members of scientific of Program Advisory Committee, colleagues and guests, I will in short give information about the resolution of the 121st session of the Scientific Council in February this year and on the decisions of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries in March this year. So the session of Scientific Council took place on 23rd, 24th February. It was chaired by the director, Viktor Matvijev, and co-chaired by Professor Mikhail Waligorsky from Poland. So the agenda of this session of Scientific Council is shown on this slide. It started by a report of the director, results of implementation of the 7-year plan for development of Joint Institute for years 2010-2016 and plans for next 7 years, 2017-2023 by vice directors. Recommendation of Program Advisory Committee by representatives of these committees. Membership of Program Advisory Committees by Michal Itkis. Reports by young scientists and as recommended by Program Advisory Committees. Proposed amendments of regulation for the Joint Institute Program Advisory Committees by scientific secretary Nikolai Rusakovich. Scientific reports, status of the FAIR project at the end of 2016 and proposed prospects for the FAIR Joint Institute Cooperation by Boris Sharkov. Election of the director of Bogolubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and announcement of vacancies of positions in the directorates of our laboratories. And finally, awards and prizes. Concerning general consideration, Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report presented by the director, Viktor Matveyev, which concerned the decisions taken at the session of Committee of Planning Potentiaries in November 2016, the scientific results produced in this year, and the major events in the activities of Joint Institute and its international cooperation. The Scientific Council appreciated the approval by Committee of Planning Potentiaries of the 7-year plan for years 2017-2023, which will determine the strategy of Joint Institute in the coming period and which will be updated on an early basis with the actual financial situation taken into account. The Scientific Council was pleased to note the establishment of Supervisory Board of the NICA project, which is an important step taken after the recent signing of the agreement between the government of Russian Federation and Joint Institute on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex of superconducting rings for heavy ion colliding beams. The Scientific Council congratulated the Directorate for the successful realization of the idea of an all-Russian open lesson on the NICA project on February 17 and suggested its wider distribution. Also, the Scientific Council recognized significant progress in implementing the priority projects within the scientific program and the high-quality organizational work being done by the Directorate. It highly congratulated the Institute for approval by EUPAC of the names of the new superheavy elements Moscovium, Tennessine and Oganesson synthesized at the Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. Scientific Council supported the development of long-range strategy for Joint Institute beyond the approved 7-year plan, at least up to the year 2030. Concerning the results of the previous 7-year plan, the Scientific Council highly appreciated the results of implementation of this plan and the plans of activities for the next 7 years in the fields of particle physics and high-energy heavy ion physics and information technologies presented by me, and the fields in the fields of low and intermediate energy nuclear physics with neutrons, and condensed matter physics presented by Vice Director Michal Itzkis. The Scientific Council wished the Directorate and staff of Joint Institute success in realizing the ambitious plans aimed at constructing unique basic facilities, NICA, Super Heavy Element Factory, Baikal Gigavolume Detector, upgrading the existing facilities of Joint Institute, integrated them into the European and global research infrastructures, and at accomplishing an extensive program of fundamental and applied research in the various fields of modern physics, based on broad international cooperation. The Scientific Council concurred with the recommendations on issues of particle physics, nuclear physics and condensed matter physics taken by the program advisory committees at the session in January 2017, as reported by the representatives of these committees. The Scientific Council proposed that the General Directorate should take into account these recommendations in preparing the topical plan of research and international cooperation for 2018. Concerning membership of the program advisory committees, as proposed by the Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Professor Levitovich from Ganil KN France as chairperson of the PAC for nuclear physics for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council appointed Professor Hall Wilton from Sweden as a new member of PAC for condensed matter physics for a term of 3 years. And it thanked the outgoing member, Augusto Cecucci from CERN, for his successful work as a member of the PSC for particle physics. The Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by young scientists, which were selected by the PACs for presentation at this session. Multimedia educational resources, charmonium-like states at COMPASS, fusion reaction with light neutron-rich nuclei, a pathway to synthesize new heavy nuclei, and simulation of radiation damage to different neural structures with GEANT4 DNA toolkit, TPC MPD NICA readout electronics. So these reports were done by the following speakers: Sidorov from Wexler Laboratory, Wexler Barin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, Gridin from Jelikov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, Rachkov from Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, and Barchimek from Laboratory of Radiation Biology, and it welcomed similar reports in the future. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the report status of the FAIR project at the end of 2016 and prospects for the FAIR general cooperation, and thanked the Deputy Director Boris Sharkov for his informative presentation. Based on the reported FAIR time schedule, the Scientific Council emphasized the need for a timely and successful completion of the NICA project with broad international cooperation. This will enable complementarity among these projects. Scientific Council took note of the amendments to the regulation for Joint Institute Program Advisory Committees proposed for consideration by Chief Scientific Secretary Nikolai Rusakovich. The updated version of the regulation provides an extended description of the PAC functions, enabling the PACs to establish their operating procedure and develop specific methods of the evaluation of projects. The revised regulation also encourages the PACs to appoint one or two of its members to perform continuous monitoring of a specific project, allows the PAC members to carry out the evaluation of projects by means of electronic communications, and includes a number of minor corrections suggested by Joint Institute Directorate and PACs. The Scientific Council approved the amended text of this document. Concerning prizes and awards, the Scientific Council congratulated Professor Friedrich Didak from Austria on the award of the Diploma Honorary Doctor of Joint Institute in recognition of his outstanding contributions to the advancement of science and the education of young scientists. The Scientific Council congratulated Professor Julian Budagov from Joint Institute on the award of the Gelepov Prize for the development and construction of a unique laser metrology system for measuring the angular oscillation of the Earth's surface. The Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendations on the award of Bruno Pontecorvo Prize to a group of authors, including Professor Yifeng Wang from China, Professor Su Bong Kim from South Korea, and Professor Koichiro Nishikawa from Japan, for their outstanding contributions to the study of neutrino oscillation phenomenon and to the measurement of the θ1-3 mixing angle in the Diabay, Reno, and T2K experiments. The Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendations on the award of Joint Institute annual prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Concerning elections and appointment of the vacancies in the directorates of Joint Institute Laboratories, the election of the director of the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics took place at the session. Since none of the candidates obtained the required majority of votes, the Scientific Council announced new elections for this position to be held at the next session in September this year. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of the Director of Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and of the Director of Laboratory of Information Technologies. The elections for these positions will take place at the 123rd session of the Scientific Council in February next year. Now, some information about the session of the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. A regular session of this committee was held on 27th, 28th March 2017. It was chaired by the Plenipotentiary of Republic of Bulgaria, Lucezar Kostov. The agenda is shown on this slide. Again, it started by the report of the director about activities in 2016 and recommendation of 121st session of the Joint Institute Scientific Council. Then there was a report about the execution of Joint Institute budget in 2016 by Sergei Dachenko, implementation of the 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute for years 2010-2016 by Nikolai Rusakovich, results of the meeting of Joint Institute Finance Committee held on 24th-25th March by Arsen Fedelidze, proposal of the Finance Committee for the selection of a company for auditing the financial activities of Joint Institute for the year 2016, also by Arsen Fedelidze, endorsement of the appointment of the vice directors, the chief scientific secretary and the chief engineer of Joint Institute by Viktor Matveev, by election to the membership of Scientific Council by Nikolai Rusakovich, and the scientific report, new arrivals from the stability island of super heavy elements by Yuri Oganesyan. The Scientific Committee of Plenipotentiary took note of the recommendation of the 121st session of the Joint Institute Scientific Council, as well as of the information presented by the Directorate on the implementation of the Plan for Research and International Cooperation in 2016, and on the plans for Joint Institute activities in year 2017. Committee of Plenipotentiaries recognized the significant progress in implementing the priority projects of the scientific program, in particular, the progress in civil construction work of the NICA Collider building, the successful commissioning of the linear accelerator of heavy ions, and the official start of the assembly and testing line for superconducting magnets, the active efforts towards the preparation of the technical design reports and mass production of the MPD detector elements, the approval of EUPAC of the names of the new superheavy elements, moscovium, tennessine and organesium, synthesized at the Fleurov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, the good progress of the installation of the cyclotron DC-280 with its major technological systems in the building under construction of the factory of super heavy elements, the high quality scientific results obtained at the spectrometers of the IBR2 research facility, and the progress of implementation of the user program at the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics and its further development. The new results achieved in the field of information technology and the achievements in the development of the Joint Institute educational program. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries expressed concern about the tendency in recent years towards an annual reduction in the level of actual revenues of the Joint Institute budget, which jeopardizes the implementation of the Institute's scientific program. It appealed to the plenipotentiaries of the member states to take measures for the timely payment of contributions in full, as prescribed by the Charter and the Financial Protocol of Joint Institute. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the information about the major scientific results obtained in implementing the 7-year plan for the development of Joint Institute for 2010-2016 and about its financial support. The committee recognized that the objectives of the 7-year plan in the area of major facilities had been achieved, in particular, the stable operation of the modernized IBR2 reactor and the increased number of spectrometers now available for experiments at this facility, the ongoing construction of the factory of superheavy elements with an expectation to put it into operation in 2017. The recent signature of important contracts which provide timely realization of the NICA project. The commissioning of the Dubna cluster of the Baikal Gigavolume Detector Facility. The start-up of the CMS Tier 1 Center. Concerning financial issues, the Committee of Planning Potentiaries noted the balanced execution of the budget in 2016 in conditions of incomplete and unstable receipt of budget revenues. The committee resolved to continue improving the procurement activities of Joint Institute, which should facilitate the efficient work and timely fulfillment of obligations for the implementation of projects. The committee discussed the situation with industrial return to member states in 2016. It commissioned the directorate to continue work towards securing the right of industrial return for each member state in an amount of at least 20% of its contribution on the basis of Joint Institute competitive procedures. The committee approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee held on 24th-25th March 2017. It appealed to the plenipotentiaries of the governments of the general member states, which have debts in the payment of contributions to the Joint Institute budget, to take urgent measures for their repayment and in the future to ensure the timely delivery of contributions. The committee suspended, beginning in 2017, the increase of the arrears of Ukraine in the payment of its contribution to the GINER budget due to force majeure and deferred the consideration of the issue of Ukraine's arrears in the payment of its contribution to the budget to the session of committee in March 2018. The committee asked the chairman to address the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine with a request to ensure the participation of Ukraine's official representative in the meetings of the Finance Committee and the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. The committee set up a working group of representatives of several member states of Joint Institute and the General Directorate to develop proposals for the redemption of Ukraine's arrears in the payment of its contribution to the general budget. As proposed by the Finance Committee, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries approved the company Korsakov & Partners from Moscow as Joint Institute Auditor and authorized it to conduct an audit of the Institute financial activities for the year 2016. Concerning appointment of members of Joint Institute Directorate, Committee of Plenipotentiaries, based on the results of secret ballot, endorsed the appointment of Alexander Sorin as a Chief Scientific Secretary of Joint Institute and Boris Gikal as Chief Engineer of Joint Institute until the completion of the term of office of the Director Viktor Matveev on January 1st, 2022. Based on the results of open vote, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries postponed the appointment of new candidates for the position of three vice directors of the Joint Institute until the session of committee in March 2018. It allowed the Joint Institute director to extend the term of office of junior vice director Richard Lednitsky until 31st March 2018 and to grant the right to extend the powers or assign temporary duties of Joint Institute Vice Directors, including to other persons, until their official approval by the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. In accordance with the Charter of Joint Institute, the Committee allowed the Director to introduce the position of a fourth Vice Director at Joint Institute. The Committee commissioned the Director to send the material on this position to the Plenipotentiaries of the Member States, substantiating the goals, tasks, duties, and requirements for the candidates for the subsequent endorsement of the appointment as vice director of one of the candidates nominated by the member states at the session of the committee in March 2018. The committee thanked the General Chief Scientific Secretary Nikolai Rusakovich and Chief Engineer Grigory Shirkov for many years of their successful work as members of the Directorate for their contributions to the results achieved by the Institute and to the development of international scientific cooperation. The Committee of Plenipotentiaries elected Professor Li Jiangang, Institute of Plasma Physics from China, as a new member of Joint Institute Scientific Council. The committee highly appreciated the report New Arrivals from the Stability Island of Superheavy Elements presented by Yuri Oganessian, scientific leader of the Fluorov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. This is the last slide. Thank you for your attention.
Good morning, dear PAC members, dear colleagues. I would like to present a report on progress toward the realization of the NICA Nucleotron NICA project. And my report will include a brief review of results of the accelerator complex operation, preparation for baryonic matter experiment, preparation for the booster construction, and brief review of the last Mission Advisory Committee, which was held in May 2017. And about nucleotron operation, I will say a few words about statistic of the last run. And from the side of machine development, I will concentrate it on only on three topics, which is most important for the operation of the nucleotron complex. And a few words about our future plans for this year and beginning of the next year. The nucleotron run number 54 was provided from February to March of this year. Total duration was about 1,000 hours. 64% was spent to experiments with the accelerated beam. And this run was divided by two parts. First part was provided with a source of polarized ions, and the accelerator complex was used for acceleration of polarized and unpolarized neutrons and protons. And the second part of the run was provided with laser source, and the accelerated ions was carbon and lithium ions. Maximum extracted beam energy in this run was 5.2 GeV per nucleon, which corresponds to 1.85 Tesla of the magnetic field. First important result achieved during this run. I already a few times reported about development of adiabatic capture, and a few systems was prepared. What is the adiabatic capture? The beam is injected at the plateau of the magnetic field, and after that, by special program, we increase amplitude of RF voltage and start beam acceleration with initially slow increase, and after that with linear increase of magnetic field. In this run, capture of efficiency was obtained up to 70%, and this run, practically total run, was operated with this regime. Initially, the regime was not so stable, but during a few first shifts, we fixed all problems related with stability of the regime. And in principle, this regime permitted us to increase intensity of accelerated beam up about 2 times. Maybe it is not so important for polarized neutrons in this run, but in future for heavy ion acceleration, it is very important. And the next big achievement in this run was successful attempt to accelerate the proton beam. What is the nature of the problem? We provided modernization of our four-injector. Our linear accelerator LU20 was developed in 17th as a proton acceleration to accelerate the proton up to 20 MeV. and injection energy was about 600 kV, which was provided by high voltage transformer. The neutrons and light ions were accelerated at the second harmonics, and injection energy was 4 times less, and output energy also 4 times less. After modernization of our foreign injector and replacement of high voltage transformer by RFQ foreign injector, we can have at the entrance of LU20 only 156 kV of the beam energy. It means that the proton we can accelerate also up to 5 MeV only. The energy of the protons was decreased by our modernization from 20 MeV to 5 MeV. It means that at injection, the nucleotron magnetic field for protons now has to be about 150 Gauss, 2 times less than it is required for other ions. This regime was never tested before, but because of importance of the proton program at the nucleotron complex, our directorate spent 4 shifts for tuning of the accelerator complex in such new regime. Which works was we provided during these 4 shifts. We provided, in fact, new commissioning of the accelerator complex. We provide tuning of the accelerator and injection channel from LU20 to nucleotron. We provided orbit correction and at injection with tuning of the beam circulation. We provide adjustment of the working point of the nucleotron and tuning of the acceleration process. As a result, we provided acceleration of the proton beam up to energy of about 2 GeV per nucleon. Here you can see intensity of the beam, but maybe we have no time to optimize all regimes, and it is not maximum possible number. But during this experiment was demonstrated that the protons can be successfully accelerated at the nucleotron complex in current configuration. It is, in my opinion, it is a very important achievement. Last year I reported commissioning of new foreign injector, and I said that proton acceleration probably impossible for nearest future. In principle, we demonstrated that proton acceleration is possible. However, we try accelerate also polarized protons, but to provide a good level of polarization, we need to provide modernization of LU20 nucleotron transfer channel, and we need to install spin rotator to adjust a spin direction to the magnetic field in the nucleotron. Next achievement was related with our operation schedule, and we improve sufficiently quality of the slow extraction at high energy. And what is the problem here? In the run number 47, during extraction at 5 GeV per nucleon, insulator of the electrostatic septum of slow extraction system was broken due to high voltage discharge. After repairment of this insulator and after repairment of electrostatic septum and installation of the insulator, the voltage was limited by the value of about 120 kilovolts only. And the good efficiency of the slow extraction was provided up to energy of about 3.5 GeV only. This situation was changed in 2016-2017. During this period, we provided 3 runs of the nucleotron operation with total duration more than 3,000 hours. Intensive training of electrostatic septum during this period permitted to increase voltage up to 150 kilovolts. For the beam extraction at maximum energy, design voltage of the electrostatic septum is 160 kilovolts. We practically achieved our design parameters, and in principle we have instruments to optimize slow extraction process at maximum energy. This example show show validity of well-known axiom, the accelerator complex has to work as much as possible if you would like to have good results in the beam parameters and stable operation. And I think it is less than 1 year, we provided 3,000 of hours of operation, and if we will have such a regime in future, we will have good parameters of the nucleotron. And here, example of the slow extraction obtained at 2.5 GVP nucleon. It is about 2 seconds of spill duration. You can see the quality is not ideal for the moment, but now we have a possibility to adjust slow extraction by using information provided by triggers of baryonic matter at nucleotron experiment, and we hope to improve slow extraction quality in the nearest run using good connection between our team and team from baryonic matter at nucleotron, which is related to the nearest plan. As I reported at the previous PSC meeting, in 2017 we plan to start operation of baryonic matter at nucleotron, and we plan to provide also very long run. We plan to start in about 20 of October and end of the run at the end of the December. The run will be provided with the cryon ion source, and we plan to accelerate carbon ions, argon and krypton ions. A general goal of this run is to start baryonic experiment, baryonic matter at nucleotron. Also very important task to test elements of the MPD elements, and other experiments are also scheduled. But all our plans we cannot cover even with such long plan, and due to importance of our physical program, we plan to prolong the nucleotron operation after short pause, about 1 month, in 2018 with laser ion source to accelerate deuterium, lithium and carbon beams. And we plan to start booster construction from 2000, booster assembly from 2000, from the beginning of 2018. But maybe it is most important to provide physical program, and after completion of the physical program, to start the booster assembly. From the side of preparation to baryonic matter at nucleotron, I will say only about one achievement of the last period at the accelerator complex. As you know, new foreign injector was assembled for operation with SPI, was assembled without buncher between RFQ section and LU20, and theory transmission in this in this case is only 20%. Achieved efficiency was about 10%. Achieved efficiency of the acceleration was about 10%, and for the moment the buncher in this medium energy beam transport was constructed, installed at the injection complex, and we expect gain in the transmission of about 3 times. It is very important for heavy ions, but quality of the slow extraction will directly related to the intensity of the accelerated beam. And here a few two photos. The buncher was designed in ITEP, constructed, fabricated in Chernogolovka, and after that it was tested at ITEP, transferred to our institute. Here you can see the buncher adjustment tuning at the test bench. The buncher was installed at the LU20 injection chain, and presently we are providing technological RAM of LU20 accelerator with the laser source in order to tune of the injection chain with new element. In relation with the booster construction, in reality, one of the most important elements of the booster electron cooling system, one of the most important and one of the most expensive electron cooling system was constructed at Novosibirsk Butker Institute for Nuclear Problems, Physics, under leading by Vasily Parhamchuk. In April of this year, this system was transferred to our institute. Here you can see synchrophasotron building and track from the Novosibirsk. Electron cooling system was assembled at its nominal position. And in May of this year, was provided power supply for all solenoid system and tuning of the main solenoid, this straight solenoid in which the cooling process takes place. And here you can see leader of the Novosibirsk team, Vasily Parhamchuk. He participated in the tuning of the main solenoid, and obtained results is shown here. Before, you can see here magnetic field before tuning of the solenoid and after tuning. Horizontal and vertical components of the magnetic field were tuned to the relative value better than 2×10⁻⁵ in relation to longitudinal magnetic field. For the moment, electron cooling system is under preparation for baking procedure. We prolong assembly of the vacuum system and assembly of high voltage system, and next step will be electron cooling system operation with the electron beam. And in reality, it is first element of the booster, which is under its nominal position now. The progress in the NICA development was reviewed by NICA Mission Advisory Committee, which was provided in Dubna in May 22-23 of this year. The members of Mission Advisory Committee had more than 20 reports from members of the NICA team. We presented a few young, our young specialists at this Mission Advisory Committee. And from the next MAC meeting, which was held in October 2015, MAC members point out very big progress in the NICA realization. From this period, we started officially started civil construction of the collider building. New source of polarized ion was put into operation, as well as a new RF Kufor injector for the nucleotron. Heavy ion linear accelerator was put into operation. Facility for superconducting magnets assembly and test, and also new liquid helium liquefier. But the members of the Mission Advisory Committee in the final review expressed many critical points for our project, and I will concentrate it only for negative, not for positive, only for negative. And what is related to the nucleotron, an improvement of spill structure of the extracted beam is still necessary. We know this, and we will plan to improve quality of the extracted beam in the nearest run, which is what is concerned to the booster construction. We have some delay in construction of some elements of the magnetic structure. It will be reviewed in the next report. And from the MAC members' point of view, we have very ambitious schedule for the booster assembly. We plan to complete the booster assembly at the end of the next year. And MAC recommends to look more accurately for required manpower. For the, from the side of the collider, the lattice design is not completed yet, and we provide effective work in this in this point of view, in this field of activity. The MAC concentrated on concentrate the attention to status of the stochastic cooling system. From the side of NICA operation in the mode with polarized beam, the MAC suggested that proposed system based on spin rotating solenoid look adequate, but to achieve the proposed high luminosity is an open issue. MAC advises to establish special scientific group to deeply investigate the spin dynamics, including the spin tracking, as well as strategy to obtain the design luminosity. MAC suggests that the MAC meetings should be organized not less than once per year. In addition, it will be fruitful to organize a specialized workshop on dedicated issue of the NICA project, beam dynamics and other problems. After receiving by review of the MAC, we provided two meetings of the NICA group at the last week, and all critical notes and recommendations by MAC have been analyzed in details, and the NICA task for nearest future have been formulated with the list of responsible persons and external experts. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Anatoly, for this report. This is now open for discussion and comments. Okay, I have a few questions for you. You mentioned this new insulator that was installed recently for the slow extraction that was initially operated at 120 kilovolt and then raised to 150. Is it rated to what voltage ultimately?
The new insulator was installed just after run number 47. But during first period of its operation, we had no enough time to provide intensive training. And last year, we had enough time for operation with this electrostatic septum, and step by step, high voltage trading is very long procedure, and we need to provide long operation with the same regime.
So ultimately, you need to go up to 116 kilovolts. So that's not a problem. You see, I mean, you have reached so far 150.
We will see. We had good progress during long operation. I hope this progress, the power supply, high voltage power supply, was tested at the test bench up to 200 kilovolts. Only the problem of intensive training of the electrostatic septum.
Okay. You mentioned that after the run of spring 2018, you will start the booster assembly.
Yes.
So, how long will that take?
We hope to complete assembly of the booster to the end of the next year.
In the next?
Next year.
Next year.
At the end of the next year.
So that means...
But it is very ambitious plans, as mentioned by Mission Advisory Committee. And real situation will depend on our human resources. But at the moment, we hope to complete to the end of the next year.
Now, the MAC expressed some concern about the manpower that you will need for the assembly.
Yes.
You share that concern? Are you doing something about it?
For the moment, we presented to the MAC members only staff required for assembly of the magnetic system. But there are many another systems which also requires a lot of manpower. Cooling system, cryogenic system, thermometry system, and so vacuum system, and so on. exact estimation of the required manpower is not done yet.
So, if I understand you properly, after March you start the booster assembly, and then there will be no nucleotron beam till 2019?
Yes.
That's in agreement, in coordination with the users?
Yes, in principle, yes.
In practice?
In practice, it will depend on our success in this procedure. If we will work in accordance with the plan, our users will wait for our results.
Okay.
If we will have some delays, maybe we will try to organize an intermediate run of the nucleotron during assembly of the booster.
But as far as the part deliveries, you expect to have all parts in-house ready for installation and assembly by March 2018. There
yes,
is no and open questions there.
Situation with production of the booster elements will be reported on the at the next report. Mm-hmm. But we hope to have all elements for booster assembly in the next year.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much, Anatoly. We have now the presentation from the Nucleotron Run Coordinator, Eugeny Strokovsky.
Good morning, dear colleagues. let me outline results of the last run of the Nucleotron, which took place, from February 10th of February until 24th of March. So this run actually has two different parts. One was work with the source of polarized ions. Here the main tasks were twofold. First of all, data taken to complete measurements started in the previous run within the two main projects, DSS and the ALPOM-2 project. And the second very important task was related with the acceleration of test of possibility to accelerate polarized protons. And as you already had seen in the previous talk, this task was sufficiently successful. And the second part of the run was related with the nuclear beams, carbon and lithium beams, and the work of the BMTN spectrometer, and the work was within the HyperNIS project were done with carbon beam and lithium beam, as well as some R&D works for other users. In total, in general, the work of the machine was rather good, as you already have seen from the previous talk. Sufficiently good part of the time was spent for physics and user works. In principle, you can find on the Nucleotron site this kind of information about magnetic field used within the run, about intensity, type of ions, etc. And typical intensity of the beam was around 10 to 9, and you can see that there were three parts: polarized neutrons, polarized protons, and then end of the run was with the carbon and lithium nuclei. Plan was realized rather well, as you can see from this diagram. These are time used by experiments in fact, and planned time is here. The plan was rather well fulfilled. And here again I stress that within the accelerator physics study of possibility to accelerate polarized protons was realized. So in general, users are rather satisfied by the machine work and results of the get by results of the run. For some projects, results either will be presented here, maybe today, already today, and some results are planned to be submitted at the DSPIN conference rather soon. So let me mention one very important result for neutron polarimetry obtained within the ALPOM2 project. That was obtained in the previous run, new data about neutron polarized neutron asymmetries, etc. And what was unexpected and obtained in the PASED run is the unique result obtained the first time in the intermediate energy region of neutrons. Namely, it was noticed that inclusive reaction like polarized neutron with such targets like copper, for example, in inclusive mode, when you detect only charged particles with a charge one unit, inclusively, you can get rather high asymmetry, and this can be used in further experiments. Simply, there are some good advantages in comparison with this traditional scheme when the target is CH and mainly hydrogen is used as the analyzing nucleus. Here you can see that heavy nuclei can be also used, and therefore the target might be rather compact, rather short, and that is very convenient for polarimetry purposes. Also, within polarized part of the run, SPE performance was investigated. Rather high values of tensor polarization were observed and achieved. The capability of the nucleotron to accelerate polarized protons was investigated, and it was demonstrated that it is possible. There were several measurements of polarization at different energies. Half GV, 1 GV, 2 GV here at the internal beam, and polarization exists. As concerns the polarization of the extracted beam, it was measured by polarimeter in the F3 focus, and the values which we obtained are rather close to the ideal theoretical values, maximal values for vector polarization when you are working with pure vectorially polarized neutrons with tensor polarization equal zero. Maximal values theoreticals are about 2/3. You can see that the numbers are rather close to this value. Few R&D results should be also mentioned in my view. First of all, for the Nucleon 2 project by the Zhilepov laboratory in collaboration with Moscow State University and other centers. Test of detector prototype, first test was done in the beam of carbon nuclei, and here you can see good example of the clear, bright Bragg peak detected in this prototype. So this is very good result for the Nucleon 2 project. As concerns other R&D results, I would like to mention the results concerning the silicon tracking station for BMA-10 and CBN. Next stage of tests was done, and the results were reported recently. This is misprint, not May, but June, just a few days ago. Dementiev Dmitry at the CBM work group meeting reported results. This is setup, how it was used. They have measured amplitudes of the cluster, amplitudes measured with the deuteron beam, as well as the cluster size dependence on the angle, etc. So that moves the project of this tracking station for BMA10 and for CBM moves forward rather well. So in general, new physical results were obtained during this last run, which are important, first of all, for polarimetry of at intermediate energy, of polarimetry of neutrons. As you already had heard before, the polarized neutron beam was restored, and now the performance of the SPI was improved. And also, now we know that GINR can have normal, real polarized proton beams in the few GV region, accelerated in the nucleotron, and that will be first time in the GINR at all. So, in my personal point of view, this is the most important results of this run for external users, because such beams do not exist at other world centers at present. And also, this achievement is very important for the NICA project as well. So, that's all. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments? Well, I think we should congratulate you for providing the polarized proton beam also. I think that this is now close to being probably the first publication that will come from the fixed target program of the nucleotron from the ALPOM collaboration. So I look forward to this first publication coming out from this project.
Thank you. And this achievement about polarized proton is, of course,
did they publish the result of the neutron?
Of the acceleration division, and I think that results will be somehow published.
Did they publish the result from the deuteron, from the polarized deuteron that they measure in run 53, I guess?
As concerns results of the previous run and this run, publications are in
preparation.
Data are under analysis, and we expect publications maybe during this GSPIN conference already.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, then thank you again, Evgeny, for this presentation.
Thank you.
Before we break for coffee, I think we have the presentation on the infrastructure development by Nikolai Agakov.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, dear colleagues. The title of my talk is Report on the Infrastructure Developments, including Nucleotron. As you all know, the main goal of such developments is to meet all requirements for NICA accelerators and detectors. The outline is the same as it was at the present meeting of the committee. Main directions are construction of building, a line for assembling and cryogenic testing superconducting magnets, water cooling systems, cryogenics, modernization of electricity system and heating facilities, and reconstruction of water pipelines, electric power networks, and thermal grids. But this time, let me limit myself by only those items where we have got new results, without a detailed description for other areas. This slide shows the main buildings that we are going to construct. A collider building, NICA Innovation Center, and new compressor hall. Let's start with the collider building. You can see that eight organizations are now involved. They are a general contractor, joint stock company Strabag, and seven subcontractors performing different types of work. At this time, the total number of engineers and workers is about 150. It is 1.5 times more than in December last year. The main types of work are reinforced concrete works, evacuation, excavation and road construction, and pallet work. This picture shows processes of reinforced concrete works. The next slide illustrates the status of pallet works. This table shows the plan and its implementation on peeling works on the different areas. You can see that we have realized 70% of the plan. It's possible to say that the construction of the collider building is going close to the timetable. There are small delays which are associated with impossibility to do some works due to obligations to provide the scheduled nucleotron runs. But surely these delays will be little by little reduced. In this respect, the second checkpoint to the lab is providing important assistance. Its operation started about 3 months ago. Everybody at the lab very pleased with this long-awaited event. The next building project is the new compressor station. It will have an area of 2,000 square meter and total electric power of motors of 9.6 megawatts. This building is of key importance to complete the cryogenic complex for NICA. Now we have received all project documentation, but we, for a very long time we are waiting for results of tender among the construction company. In the frame of agreement between our institute and Russian Federation on mega project NICA, construction of the new Center for Innovative Developments has been planned. Several architectural solutions proposed by different project organizations are now actively discussed. Here is one of the examples of the presentation solutions. Let's turn now to the facility for assembling and cryogenic tests of the superconducting magnets for NICA and FAIR projects. The facility was commissioned last November in full configuration. The main production areas are incoming inspection zone, superconducting cable and superconducting coil production hall, area for assembling the magnets, area for magnetic measurements under room temperature, leakage test area, area for mounting of superconducting magnets inside cryostat, and cryogenic test bench. Operating plan for the coming years include assembling and testing of 88 dipole and quadrupole magnets for NICA booster, 166 magnets for the collider, and 175 dipole quadrupole magnets of 600 synchrotron for FAIR project. Totally, it will be more than 400 elements. This picture shows two serial magnets for the booster and pre-production dipole magnets for the collider. A few words about the status of magnet production for booster. This table shows status of component preparation. There is a high degree of readiness of many of elements, iron york, coils, dipoles, and quadrupole cryostats. Supports, bellows and current leads. But it's necessary to speed up activity on such items as beam pipes and coil for corrector magnets. The schedule of cryogenic tests of the booster magnets is presented at the next slide. You can see that their production should be completed not later than 1 year. The plan does not foresee any interruptions of work, and now we have overcome all the reasons of shutdowns. At first, the cryogenic complex has provided all planned work at the testing line concurrently with the operation of the accelerator. And the second, due to commissioning of the cooling towers, it became possible to produce liquid helium during the Dubna River spring flood. Yes, commissioning of the new water supply system for Nucleotron compressor hall is successfully finished, and system operates now automatically. It was not required any new buildings. All requirements located at the existing compressor hall and consist of such main parts of 20 cubic meter vessel, two water pumps and two cooling towers. At the next slide, you can see information about main results and plans for magnet productions. For booster, serial production of the magnets has been started. The third of the dipoles successfully has passed cryogenic tests. Ending of the cold tests is planned for the middle of the next year. Collider. Cryogenic tests of the pre-production dipole magnet is starting now. Pilot unit of 6 cryostats for dipole and magnets have been manufactured. Manufacturing of 350 bellows for cryostat is scheduled for this year. 300 kilometers of superconducting wire for collider magnets will be delivered very soon to the lab. 380 tons of electrical steel for the magnets ERCs have been ordered. For CIS-100, two magnet units have been assembled and prepared for cryogenic tests. Serial production of CIS-100 magnets will be started in November this year. Let's move to the cryogenic system. If you remember, the NICA helium cryogenics will be based on liquid helium plant that was built earlier for the Nucleotron. Originally, our main development goal was to increase the total refrigerator capacity from 4 to 8 kilowatts at liquid helium temperature. But after some refinements, it has became clear that the required cooling capacity should be increased to 10 kilowatts. It will be possible to do by using a bigger gas flow rate from the compressor stations and some correction of thermodynamic cycles of satellite refrigerators. And we are going to these directions. If you look at this, you can see the most important installations which will appear while updating the lab cryogenic system. New helium screw compressors, helium liquefier with capacity 1,000 liters per hour, draining and oil purification units, and so on. The green color indicates the already manufactured and delivered equipment. White color shows the parts which are manufacturing and will be completed in this year. Blue color points the parts which already have been designed. Red color indicates pilot units of equipment which design is continuing. In this year, the working platform of existing liquid helium plant will be significantly expanded. The additional production space are intended for contain the new equipment. Two 100 cubic meter householder, drying and oil purification units, and liquid nitrogen recondenser. Very soon, we are expected important upgrading of helium storage system. New liquid helium container will be delivered to the lab at the end of this year. This reservoir will solve simultaneously several problems. To increase capacity of existing equipment to store helium by more than four times, to provide the cost-effective delivery of helium from manufacturer by own transportation, and have an additional cold source for smoothing of the emergency situation at the accelerator complex. Infrastructure for exploitation of such containers are ready. Besides the lab, there is good experience of using them while transportation and storing. Let's now talk about electricity system. As you already know, the capacity of the present main transformer station is almost completely used. For extra power, it was decided to replace the existing transformer by two more powerful ones. After that, the total possible load will be increased to required value of about 40 megawatts. The contract with Siemens transformer will be completed in September of this year. The next page illustrates the estimated power distribution of the new transformer station. Here are main users: booster, collider, new compressor hall, computer cluster, nucleotron, channels of the building 205, facility for assembling and cryogenic tests, labs infrastructure, Eastern Thermal Station, Center of Innovating Developments. Nevertheless, due to limit of the external lines, it will be not possible to exceed about 40 megawatts. And of course, this distribution picture will be optimized several times more. From the main power transformer station to substation 14 is fully completed this line. Most of the equipment at the main power station and this substation have been reconstructed. Now comes commissioning. Along with the future reconstruction of substation 15, all mentioned above will ensure future reliable supply of electricity for collider, MPD, and SPD. That's all the latest information concerning the infrastructure developments. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Yes, please.
So can you please clarify the statement that one third of booster dipoles successfully passed cryogenic tests? What it means? It means that two thirds did not pass, or is there some unsuccessful test?
Yes, all tests was completely successful, but We need some beam pipes. We have no beam pipes now.
Any other question or comment? I mean, you have presented an impressive list of progress in many, many fronts. Are you pleased with all this progress? Do you see any showstopper somewhere?
Sorry? Yes. I think that delays tender procedure in Joint Institute is too long. I think that it's not so good for our project.
How about the construction of the collider itself? Is it going according to the schedule, or the Strabag project, is it going satisfactorily, or?
It's not, I think that it is very difficult to do some runs of the nucleotron, to plan runs, and to do some upgrade that needed to the collider building. I think that it's one of the most important points for some delays.
Okay, no further questions or comments? Okay, so we will now break for a coffee till 11.
Just like this. I'll move there.